Thanks for joining us today. At City Life, we have one purpose, making it easy for people to say yes to Jesus. We believe today's message will empower you to do exactly that. But remember that church is so much more than a sermon you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life.
We are on our series, Emmanuel, God is with us. God with us in the storms, in the seasons, in whatever you happen to be going through. And this comes from the scripture of Matthew 1, verse 23. It's been our theme scripture, and this is actually a quote from the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament, written hundreds of years before Jesus arrived on the earth. And it said this: "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. God is with us. And you have to understand how important of a concept this is, because God was never with us before. God was out there somewhere. God was not touchable. God was dangerous. You know, when they had the temple and they had the tabernacle, like, you went into the presence of God and you weren't properly prepared, you died. When the priest went into the temple, they would tie a rope to his leg, because if he did something wrong in the cleansing ceremonies beforehand, he would drop dead in the temple. And then it's like, who's going to get him? He's in the Holy of Holies, this place where God's presence is, and he did something wrong and he died. Well, they tied a rope to his leg so they could drag him out. And now, this is the promise, is that God will be with us. God will be with us. That it won't be just a certain select person that can be in his presence. And so we looked at, 2 weeks ago, we looked at God with us in the valleys. And, you know, we enjoy God on the mountaintops, but we get to know him in the valleys of life. And last week, Monica talked about God in the wilderness. And you know what happens in the wilderness is God whispers to us in the wilderness, because he's close to us. And you know, one of the things that, you know, our deepest needs become our greatest gifts when they drive us to depend on God. And this week I want to talk about God with us in the storms. God with us in the storms. Now, there's something about, there's just a truth about storms. You're either coming out of a storm, you're in the middle of a storm, or there's another storm around the corner. Storms just happen. And there's seasons of life that are stormy, they're not smooth. And there's different types of storms. There's death, there's divorce, there's depression, there's debt, there's teenagers. You know, there's storms in relationships, there's storms in business, there's storms in our career. There's all sorts of different storms that we go through in life. And, you know, when we're in the middle of a storm, it causes us to question, why am I in the storm? That's usually the first question. You know, is why is this storm happening? What can I do to change this? Where's God in this storm? Why is God allowing this? And there's a story in Acts chapter 27 I'm going to read. It's about a storm. And this is written about the life of Paul the Apostle. He wrote a big part of the New Testament. And he was being taken. He was a prisoner, and he was going to be taken to Rome. And they were basically trying to get him to Rome before the storm season. And so nice weather, kind of deceptively nice weather, kind of set in. And it's like it says Acts 27:13, it says, "When a gentle south wind began to blow, they saw their opportunity, so they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete." So in other words, it got nice enough, they thought, hey, we can make it. You know, if we go for it right now, we can make it. But before very long, a wind of hurricane force called the Northeaster swept down from the island. Now, when storms get named, There's a problem. Maybe you've gone through situations in life and it's like, that storm, that was bigger than a normal storm. It's like, that one gets a name. Don't name it your mother-in-law. Don't do that. You know, that we go through some storms that that just they, you know, we go through storms. It's like you go through them, they're done, they're over. You tell the story, but then you go through some storms. It's like they're marked forever in your life. And it says, as we, he said, the ship was caught by the storm and it could not head into the wind. So we gave way to it and we're driven along. In other words, we just have to go where the storm takes us. We're not in control anymore. And the ship was caught by the storm. It could not head into the wind. So we gave way and we were driven along. And we passed to the lee of the small island called Kada, and we were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure. So the men hoisted it aboard, and they passed ropes under the ship to hold it together. Now we're starting to get desperate. You know, when you start tying your boat together with ropes, you're getting worried. You're getting worried. And they were afraid that they would run aground on the sandbars. So they lowered the sea anchor and let the ship be driven along. And they took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. So they're starting to really get desperate. The cargo is part of the reason that this ship is actually going somewhere, is because of what's on the ship. It has to get somewhere. So they're starting to get fearful here. On the third day, we threw the ship's tackle overboard. So you know what? You need tackle to survive. Like, tackle is what, you know, if you don't, you're on a ship and you have no tackle, you're in trouble. And so when neither the sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. Maybe you're in a situation where that last phrase would just describe where you're at. We have given up all hope of being saved. Maybe you're going through something right now, a situation in your life or your family or relationship, or maybe it's your business or your career, where you're feeling like, I just have no hope left in this area. I just feel like there's the storm just continues to rage. I'm doing everything I know. I'm tying it together with ropes. I'm throwing everything extra in my life off to the sides. I'm doing everything I can think of, and yet the storm rages on. You know, as we look at the storms of life, you can't help but wonder, how did I get here? How did I end up in this situation? A lot of times in storms, there's a lot of, what would you say, self-reflection that begins to take place. And you know, there's different reasons we end up in storms. This here, Acts 27, it'll come up on the screen there. It says, this is Paul, after all of this that had happened, he said, after they'd gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would just, you know, I told you not to do this. Never miss an opportunity to say, I told you so. Paul stood up and he did the classic, I told you so moment. And he said, then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss. You know, this is interesting. Why were they in the storm? Well, they were in the storm because they made a bad decision. They were in the storm. This was their fault. They were in the storm. It was their fault. They made a decision to go out when the environment was risky. And sometimes we end up in the middle of a storm because we made poor decisions. And those poor decisions led to a storm. They took us to a place of danger. Sometimes you end up in a storm because you spent too much money. Sometimes you end up in a storm because your emotions got the best of you and you said something you shouldn't have said. Sometimes you end up in a storm because you procrastinated. It's not God's fault you failed the exam because you didn't start studying till 2 a.m. It's a storm of our own making. Sometimes you're in a storm because everybody told you, don't date that sucker. It's a storm of your own making. Sometimes we want to blame others for our storms. Sometimes, you know, us spiritual folks have been known to blame a certain horned entity. But the truth is, it was just our own decision that brought us to a place where we ended up in a storm. And this is why they were giving up hope, is because they recognized this is our own fault. We got ourselves into this problem. And isn't it true? It's easier for us to believe that God will get us out of a storm when he got us into the storm than it is to believe that God will get us out of a storm when we put ourselves into the storm, when that storm is our own fault. When I get myself into a storm, there's a part of me that it's like, well, I don't even deserve to be rescued. This is my fault. I deserve to pay the price for my poor decisions. I deserve to suffer for my poor decisions. And God's with us in the storm. Even when it's our own fault, we're in the storm. Sometimes we're in a storm that's not our fault. You know, there was a small number of men on this boat who made the decision to go, but everybody else on that boat had no choice in whether to go. They were on the boat, so they had to go together on the boat. A bunch of these men were prisoners. And so sometimes you end up in storms because of somebody else's decisions. Sometimes you end up in a storm because it's not your fault. And it doesn't matter. Someone around you made a decision. You're a casualty of that decision. Regardless of the reason you're in a storm, you're in a storm. It doesn't matter whose fault it is. Sometimes it's just, it doesn't matter how we got here. We're just here. We have to do something about this. And sometimes the third kind of storm we end up in is sometimes you end up in a storm because for God to get you where he wants you, there's a storm between you and that place. And he wants to take you through that storm because there's something in that storm he wants to do in you and through you. You know, the disciples, he told the disciples, get in the boat and go across the lake. And as they're going across the lake, this huge storm comes up and they're fearing for their lives. Well, that storm was a part of something that God wanted to do in his disciples. And one of the things that just, you can never know God as Lord of the storm if you're not in a storm first. You can never get to experience him as Lord of the storm if you're not in a storm to experience him that way. There's stories of how God helped others only go so far. And there's a part of your life where he wants you to experience him for yourself. Regardless of how you end up in the storm, this is something you can write down with a black Jiffy marker on the front of your phone. Never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. Never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. He's with you in the storm, regardless of how you got there. So what do you do in the storm? Paul stood up. He said, basically he said, you all were wrong. I'm just going to point that out right now so this is on the record. But then he goes on to say, here's what we need to do. And the first thing he does, Acts 27:22, says, I urge you now to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. The first thing he says is, hold on to your courage. It's really interesting how many times we find in the Bible that statement, you know, be courageous, be strong, hold, don't give in to fear in your life. This storm is not going to take you down. Paul says, keep your courage. And then he goes on to say, last night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me. And, you know, just in your life, I want to just encourage you. You have no idea all the different ways that God is with you. God's already in your tomorrow. He's already arranging the situations of your life in advance. Ephesians 2 says he prepares works for us to walk into in advance for us to actually walk into them. He's in your today. He's in your tomorrow. He's hearing your prayers. He's comforting you in your hurts. He's directing you when you're lost. And if you're a follower of Jesus, his spirit dwells in you. He dwells in you. You know, King David, he said, I know the Lord is always with me, and I will not be shaken, for he's right beside me. I want you to know that in the storm, God is right beside you. Don't let go of your courage, because he is right beside you. He's strengthening you. And it doesn't matter if it's your fault or somebody else's fault or it's just God's fault. He is with you in the storm. He's with you. The second thing that Paul instructs them to do, we find this in verse 30. He says, in an attempt to escape the ships, the sailors let down. Some of these suckers were trying to bail. In an attempt to escape the ship, the sailors let down the lifeboat into the sea, and they were pretending they were lowering anchors. Oh, here we are, just put the anchors down. Toss the ladder over. And Paul, he went to the centurion and the soldiers, and he said, unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved. And the second thing, the second thing in the storm is stick together. Stick together. In the midst of the storm, it's easy to revert to survival mode. But we were never meant to survive alone. We gather strength from being with one another. The book of Hebrews, it says, gather together. Don't forsake the gathering together of yourselves, but encourage one another. It's very hard to encourage when we're not present. It's very hard to be encouraged when we're not present. And I know a lot of times when you're in the middle of the storm, it's easy to not be connected. It's easy to just, I'm just going to watch Netflix instead of going to small group tonight. Don't look at me like you haven't made that decision. But Paul's together. Stick together. The next thing he said is eat something. For the last 14 days, he said, you have been in constant distress and have gone without food. Now I urge you to take some food. You need it to survive. You need it. The 14 days without, when you're in the storm, you get sick. You don't want to eat. If you've ever been seasick, I've been seasick once in my life. And the thought of eating, when you're seasick, it's no. No, you don't want to eat when you're sick. But after 14 days of not eating, there's going to be problems because you haven't been eating. And Paul just says, I know that you've gone without food. I know you're probably not even hungry, but you need to eat. It's vital. He says, you need it to survive. And, in the middle of the storm, sometimes we have no appetite for the things that actually replenish us. We have no appetite for the things that will restore strength. And sometimes when you're in the middle of the storm, you go through seasons, it's hard to pray. It's hard to pray. And sometimes you have to just say, I'm going to pray. I don't feel like praying, but I'm going to pray. And sometimes it's hard to read your Bible. And it's like eating when you feel sick. It's like, I don't want to, but I know I'm going to have to. Take some food. Don't stop doing the things that you need to do to survive. They might be the very things that will carry you through this season of your life in the hardest part of the storm. And the last thing is to hold on to your faith. Hold your peace or hold your faith. And real peace is not found in the absence of a storm. Real peace is found in the presence of Jesus. Real peace isn't found in a life that doesn't have trouble. And following Jesus doesn't mean that bad days won't happen or bad events won't happen. Nowhere were we promised you won't have trouble. In fact, Jesus, he told his disciples, in this world you will have trouble. In this world you will have tribulation, but take heart. He said, for I have overcome this world. The ship may go down, but the storm will not take you out. This is maybe the hardest part of the intense seasons of storm, is sometimes the ships get lost. Sometimes certain dreams die. Sometimes certain plans, the ship's going to be lost here, guys. But you will survive. You will make it through. You will survive this season. Your plans might not survive the season, but you will survive this season. What is the ship? It's whatever you're holding on to. Whatever you're looking at in this season of your life, as this is, or in a particular season of your life, it's that the ship is your plans. It's your strategies. It's kind of what we're counting on. Sometimes the ships get lost. Sometimes God will use what you learn in your storm to help prepare others to get through their storms. And there's a purpose in the storm. See, in the storm, he's doing something in you. He's developing, he's speaking to you, he's strengthening you, he's deepening your roots. But in the storm, we need to trust him. Don't let your trust go. Don't let your faith go. Sometimes the rock that sinks your boat was put there by God to save your life. It took out your boat, but it saved your life. And when do you get to know that? Not till later. You don't get to know that till later. Acts 27:25. Keep up your courage, for I have faith in God. You know, when you're safe on shore and you look back and say, there'll be a time you'll be safe on shore and you look back and say, you know, I wouldn't want to go through that again, but what I learned in that is invaluable. What do you learn in the storm? You learn that God's our deliverance, that he will provide. You learn to put your faith not in what you see, but in what God says. You know, we learn that we don't put our faith in our circumstances, but we put our faith in God. See, my faith's not in the boat. My faith isn't in my environment. It's in the one who controls the environment. It's the one who can command the wind and the waves to stop. You can't control when a storm blows up. You can't control how severe a storm is. You can't control how long the storm will last. You can't control what people will say about you. You can't control what others are going to do. You can't control the economy. No matter what you post on Facebook. But you can control what you believe. And you can control where you put your faith. And you know, our faith, it's not in the wind and the waves, but it's in the one who can command the wind and the waves. Psalms 46, another psalm from David, he said this: God is our shelter in the middle of the storm. He is our hiding place. He is our safety. He is our strength. And he is always ready to help in times of trouble. Let's stand up. Emmanuel, God is with us. In your storm, in the seasons where you don't know what to do, in the seasons where you're trying everything to do, you're running ropes under your boat to hold it together, you're throwing anything extra in your life, it's like, I'll get rid of this, I'll get rid of that, tossing the cargo, tossing the tackle, God is with you in the storm, and he is Lord over the storm. He's our hiding place, and he's our shelter in the middle of the storm. And I just want to pray here. Maybe you're here today, and you're in the middle of the storm. You're in that season where you would say, I'm trying everything I know how to try. I have run the ropes under. I have tossed everything extra in my life over. I've done this. I've done that. But I'm still in the storm. I want to pray for you that God's work would be completed in your life through this, that you would experience him in a way that you haven't ever experienced him before. If we can just close our eyes, and that's you, wherever you're at, just so I know who I'm praying for right now, if you want to just put up your hand, I want to pray for you. If you're in that, you'd say, I'm in that storm. Yeah, my hand is up with all you guys. Let's pray together. Father, I just thank you that you are, I'll pray and then I'll lead you guys in a prayer in a minute. Thanks. Father, I pray for all the hands that are up here right now. for all the people that are in the storm. Storms are dark places. Storms are stressful places. And Father, I just pray right now for rest. Rest for their souls. Rest for their hearts and their spirits. And I just pray, even as we learned here today, I just pray that they would just continue to do the things that would strengthen them. I just pray for strength to eat, strength to gather, strength to talk to you, to strength to delve into your word and to receive strength from you and strength from your spirit. And right now, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would rest upon them, that you would be the shelter in the storm, that you would be our hiding place and you would be our safety, that you would be our strength in the midst of the storm. Thank you, Father. And I just want to pray another prayer here. Maybe you're here today and you've never said yes to Jesus. You've never actually said you want to follow him, or you've never prayed a prayer, and you're here today, you say, you know what? I want to say yes to Jesus. I want to say yes to his plan for my life. You may be in a storm, you may not be in a storm, but you're here saying, you know what? I want to say yes to what he has for me. I'm going to lead us in a prayer and we can pray together. Let's just pray together now. Jesus, I say yes to you. I want to follow you. I want to follow your plan for my life. Would you come into my life? Fill me. Speak to me. Lead me in all that you have for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. It's great, you guys.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor as a church to play just a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to seeing you soon here at City Life.